Welcome to the Dad's Podcast, discussions about dad stuff. I am Dan Pelham, founder of the Solo Dad Movement and host of the Dad's Podcast. Feel free to reach out to me and share your story at thesolodadmovement.com, email thesolodadmovement@outlook.com, Facebook, The Solo Dad Movement, Instagram, the_solo_dad_movement, Twitter, @thesolodadmove1. In this podcast, I will be interviewing dads and men from all walks of life in hopes that maybe someone will hear their story and understand that they are not alone. I want to shift fatherhood from boys don't cry, tough it out, and the disciplinarian to a place of love, empathy, and understanding from men who are willing to share their stories and feelings with others. I really hope you enjoy this journey into what it means to be a dad.
My name is Chris, and I have three wonderful, beautiful children, and my background is pretty much I fell in love about 15 years ago with the woman that I married, and 15 years later, she decided to walk out on me and my three kids. And that's where we're at today. I grew up in a home that was together until I was about 24 years of age. Okay. At 24, my mom decided that she was going to divorce my stepfather. And at that point, I knew I didn't want that.
Right.
For my kids. I knew that to me, when I say I do, it was locked in stone, and it was, it meant more to me than I guess it did her.
Right.
So I wanted anybody that knows me and anybody that is a friend of mine knows that 100% I'm always about my family. And about my kids, and at that time about my wife. And
right.
You know, unfortunately, you know, it's a chain of events that happened, and I didn't want it to happen. It wasn't my choice. It wasn't the kids' choice, but it happened. So we deal with it and we move on.
Right.
So the last 2 years, I've been solely responsible for three lives that I hope to instill that family value upon.
Right.
And that they learn, most of all, because I have two boys and one girl. So my hope is that they learn that one, vows are taken serious. And right. With my two boys, it's how women are to be treated and how the family is to function. And with my daughter, how she is supposed to be treated.
Right.
And what her role is in a proper marriage.
Right. So was your stepfather the only dad you ever knew?
My stepfather was the only dad I knew. I did meet my biological father when I was 18 years of age, but it was for very brief, and you could tell that he really didn't want to be a part of it. It was one of those things, let's meet, greet, and let's be done with it.
Right.
But for me, because as I grew up, me and my stepfather really never got along.
Okay.
We fought more than we agreed. We never saw eye to eye. And
right.
And not to demonize him, but we just didn't get along. And my only recall of my dad was he would sleep during the daytime. He would get up. When he got up, he'd watch basketballs and westerns. And then when my mother got home from work, he would go play basketball with his friends at a local school.
Okay.
So he did this up until I was 16 years of age. Finally, 16 years old, he got a job. And he started moving in the right direction. We grew up, because of this, we grew up poor. My mother, I can remember times that she would walk 15 blocks in 3 or 4 feet of snow and come in through the door with tears in her eyes because it was so cold.
Right.
And my dad didn't show really much emotions in that. And I just knew that that's not how I wanted to be as a dad if I got to that point in my life.
Right.
So we didn't get along. We didn't get along until actually after high school, when I decided that 18 years old, it was my thought that when you turned 18, you just left the house and, you went out on your own and so forth. And so that's what I did. I went out on my own, and we actually grew stronger with our communication and our ability to deal with each other, because I was no longer in the house.
Right.
So when I turned 24, I kind of blame myself for their divorce, because at that time I was going and I was pursuing an associate's degree in computer science. And I was big into computers, and my mother had a interest in them. And so I put one in their home.
Right.
And she started using it in chat rooms, and she met people on those chat rooms. And it wasn't until that happened that she told my stepdad at the time, that she didn't want to be married any longer. And so for me, you know, they were both pulling me in their direction, but I put personal blame on it because I felt that I was the person to cause it.
Right. Right. You still feel that? I mean,
now, I still do. I still, to this day, I do. But I've also, after going through this past divorce, I also, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force them to drink.
Right. Absolutely.
You got to, at some point, stop blaming yourself, because they're their own person.
Right.
And they choose what they decide on for them.
Right.
And as much as I tell myself that, and I've gotten to that point in this situation, I still, with my own parents, I kind of still blame myself.
Right. No, I hear you. Is your mom still a part of your life?
She, after the divorce, it was about 15 years. It wasn't until last year, shortly around the time of the divorce, when me and my mother actually spoke for the first time.
Okay.
So it was about 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
So now we have a better relationship. She's in up in Ohio, and we have a conversation through Facebook and text and on the phone several times. She's met the kids. We've been to her house, and so it's getting better.
Well, that's good. That's good. So,
yeah.
For sure.
Especially for the kids.
Right. No, for sure. Absolutely. To know your grandparents. I mean, my dad passed away last year, and we didn't get along growing up at all.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't speak for probably close to a decade, and it wasn't out of anger. It wasn't out of resentment. Like, we just didn't have anything to say to each other.
Right.
You know, I mean, we just didn't get along well enough to speak to each other. Like, we'd fight if we were going to talk. So let's just not talk.
I fully understand.
So, yeah, I totally get where you're coming from there, you know. And then as far as your kids, I mean, I assume they were all with your wife or your ex-wife. They all have the same mom. You guys were all, a family unit.
Yeah.
Awesome. And how old are they?
My youngest one, he's 7 years old. My middle child, she is 11. And then my oldest child is 13.
Okay. All right. So you got all the plumages, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All the stages of hormones.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
And it's been nice to have friends and coworkers as a support for some things because, you know, I was telling someone a couple of days ago that with my daughter, you know, she gets those her monthly friends started.
Right.
And
right.
It's just like, I don't know what to do. Like, what do I do? So I'm calling, you know, I'm calling and Facebooking people and I'm asking people at work, what do I do? What do I need? What, you know, and they were, I had a coworker that was actually really nice enough to go, I'm sitting here looking at a wall in a store and I'm just like, there's this right. size, this size. That, I don't know what to do.
Right,
and
right.
She was like, hold on, just, okay, so how tall is she? How, you know, asking me all these questions. And I'm just like, what does that have to do with anything? Yeah, but luckily, she was nice enough to stand there and take the time with me to help my daughter.
Right.
And that's what, you know, and that's, it's been a big help.
Yeah.
When you have that support from friends and family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of things. I mean, a lot of people too are like, oh, you're a single parent. And I think it's a different dynamic when you're more than a single parent. You know, like I consider myself a solo parent.
Right.
You know, their mom was not present because of alcohol for that decade, I guess, almost a little less than. And she passed away last year from liver cirrhosis and alcoholism. You know, so, I mean, it's now me, and it's like, you know, I don't get every other weekend. I don't get child support. I don't get,
right.
you know, all the little luxuries right. of being a single parent. Like, yeah, I can call the other parent and be like, hey, this kid's driving me nuts.
Right.
I need a break. Can someone please come over? You know, yeah. you don't get those. So, yeah. you know, and I think that's a big dynamic. So, as far as your kids, I mean, do they, I mean, I know it's hard to go through what they've gone through, but are they coping well with it? I mean.
You know, it's funny because I had this conversation with someone yesterday, and they don't mention, they don't ask questions anymore.
Right.
They kind of just go on about what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I got to the point of doing is after the divorce and after everything had happened, my faith is embedded in me big
right.
time.
Right.
And so before at nighttime, before we had our prayer, I said, you know what? I said, we need to create a time that is only for us. And so I've got to thinking and it just came out of the blue and it said, you know, let's sit around and just talk.
Right.
Because our society, we've put phones in front of people, we've put computers in front of people, we've put TVs in front of people and let that entertain us for so long that we've lost the ability to actually talk to one another.
Absolutely.
And I said, you know, let's try this out and just to see how it helps. And so
right.
we're in a living room and, you know, a couple of us be on a couch, one person be on a chair, whatever it may be. And we would go around and it didn't matter if they had a problem with me, if I had a problem with them, if they had a problem with a friend, a teacher, whatever they had a problem with, let's talk about it. Let's deal with it one-on-one. And even if they had a problem with their mom, I obviously couldn't speak for her, but I can try to help them deal with it as well as I could.
Right.
And the one thing that, you know, we're not going to demonize anybody. We're not going to, you know, the choices that people make are the choices they make. So we're going to rationalize and we're going to talk about it and get everything out in the open. And I really feel for us, that made us closer with one another.
Right.
And if there was a problem, it was addressed right then and there. So that way we don't wake up in the morning to not talk to each other or not, you know, just give each other hateful looks or anything like that.
Right. Right. So as far as like you said, when you grew up and, you know, you decided I didn't want to be that father that your stepfather represented to you, like, Has that been a conscious effort to break that cycle, or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because, and like I said, again, I strive each and every day to make sure that my kids aren't growing up in that environment. I try to, it takes a lot to get me angry already, but I try not to. I try to, because I'm the only one and I have to deal with it 24/7. The only right. time that I don't deal with it is when I'm at work.
Right.
So I have to get to the point where I've got to learn patience. And that was one of the things throughout the process for me personally, is that patience, not only on their part, but for mine as well, because they didn't know what I was going through.
Right.
I didn't really know what they were going through unless they told me.
Right.
So we had to be patient with each other, and we had to learn it pretty quickly.
Right.
There are times that my 13-year-old wants to test my patience. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
He is very active at testing my patience.
Right.
And sometimes I have to look at him, say, give me a minute, and I walk away.
Right.
And there have been times that I've broke down in tears. There's been times that I've mm-hmm. just wanted to, just put my head against the wall. And, but, walking away and giving me that time to get my emotions under control.
Right.
And get a clear head, because every time I don't, I think about the time that I was living in a house that my dad was coming at me for right. really small stuff, really stupid stuff.
With what seemed like a lot of anger.
Yeah. And so you come at me with anger, I'm going to come with you at anger. That's the way it was,
Right.
And right. I didn't want that. I don't want that. And it's really going to, it's got to be all of us together. I keep telling them throughout different times, I said, look, guys, this is all we've got left. It's just you, it's just you and me. And, this is all, right. this is our family right now. This is what we've got. So we've right. got to help each other. We've got to encourage each other, and we've got to build each other up and help each other along this way.
Right.
So it's coming together.
right. So you say you homeschool your kids and have a job outside of your house?
Yes. So the times that I am not present, some of the facilities that I use and some of those friends that I use mm-hmm. are very gracious. And, the cost wise, does it benefit? I don't know.
Right.
But it's definitely a full-time job.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the one thing I wanted to point out, because you said earlier, they don't know how you feel and all that. Like, my oldest daughter listens to this podcast, and she was amazed by, it amazed me. She's like, you have to keep doing this, because kids don't ever hear this side of their parents.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't get to sit down and have a 45-minute conversation about the real things of being a parent. Most parents are like, it's not something an 8-year-old right. needs to know, a 10-year-old needs to know. But my daughter, who's 17 now, is like, I'll listen every time. And she's like, just yeah. to know how it feels from a parent's perspective. She's like, I never ever looked at it like that. And yeah. I didn't start this thinking that it would change high school kids, how they looked at things, but
right.
there are things, and you seem pretty open with your kids.
I learned that there are certain things that they need to know.
Right.
Certain things that they don't need to know. But I think in order for them to understand, they need to know all that they can.
Right.
They need to know the financials.
Right.
They need to know the feelings that I have. And there's been times that I've looked at them and I said, look, guys, what you did today hurt me. What right. you did today upset me, and this is why. Getting them to understand the why along with what they've done, and moving forward what we need to do to change that behavior.
Right.
And it's been important, because again, I'm not going to demonize anybody. I'm going to give you the information that you need and to be open with you. And right. I hope that they're that way with me. And believe me, they have been.
Right.
There's been times that, you know, my daughter or my son has come to me and said, "You made me mad. This is right. why I made you made me mad." And we deal with it.
And as far as your kids growing up, like your homeschool now, do you have college plans? Like, what do you want for your children as far as when they get older and grow up? And
I think the one thing that I've learned with a lot of my, especially my two oldest ones, I'm still trying to figure out because, you know, sadly, I have a 7-year-old right now that believes that if you're a YouTuber, you make all kinds of money.
Right.
And I try to get him to understand that that's not always the case. And that's right. not probably the best route that you want to take. I encourage them to really pursue what interests them
mm-hmm.
and what motivates them. And for my son has, you can tell he's not big into school.
Right.
If he didn't have to go to school, he would be 100% happy with that.
Right.
So, you know, for him, we've talked, and he likes to design bridges and stuff. But we've also talked about what you need to make that happen if you wanted to do that long term.
Right.
As for my daughter, she absolutely loves school.
Yeah.
She loves reading. She loves school. She's a very good helper, and she's a very good teacher at the age of 11. Nice. So for her, you know, for her, I think encouraging her to pursue whatever she wants to do, if she wants to go to school, if she wants to go to college,
right,
so be it. And we'll make that happen and figure out the resources that we need to make that happen.
Right.
So it all depends. I, you know, with them, it's individually. I like for them to pursue it how they feel. If they came to me and said, "I just want to be a convenience store clerk or a convenience store manager," well, let's talk about that. You know, let's think about this and why you feel that away or why you think that away, and let's deal with it from there.
Right. Right. So from that, in 25 years, where would you want to see your kids?
I would like to see them happy.
Yeah.
Definitely. If they are involved in any type of relationship, that they take what they have learned and what they know to be right from wrong.
Right.
And apply that in every single thing that they do, including a marriage or including a relationship.
Right.
Because it's going to be important.
Yeah. Were you raised with religion?
No. The closest that the word God came to any of my, any of my family members was used if it was used in a slander or if it was foul language. That was the only time that that word was ever used in my home.
Right.
Growing up, my brother and I, we actually got invited when I was 12 or 13 down to a local Baptist church down the road from us, but it was like a block and a half away.
Right.
And I kind of gravitated to it and have been up and down because, you know, just like any kid that gets involved in a church, you go for a little bit, and if you don't have that foundation at home,
right,
you're probably not going to stay with it.
Correct.
So, you know, and I went through my college days, and that was interesting, and I eventually found my way back to where I'm at now.
Right.
And that was one of the things that I also learned for me is, you know, my faith is my ground for everything that I believe and do.
Right.
and I pass that along with my kids. And if they choose, yeah, it's up to them. Again, it's a personal choice that someone has to either continue,
right,
or, you know, go a different way.
Right. And but you're giving them the myself, base at home.
And that's what I try to do, and I try to guide and direct them in a way that I feel that is right. And absolutely, after that, it's you know, again, it goes back to that personal choice. It's their personal choice.
Right. And I ask more because of your strong beliefs in marriage. So I wondered whether if that came from just the way you were raised and watching it not work with your parents, or if it was a religious thing, or
I think it's a combination of both.
Okay.
I think it is a combination of both, because I've got to feel, when I was being pulled in both directions from my mother and my stepfather when they went through their divorce, I was being pulled in both directions. And so I got a sense of both of them.
Right.
And I got to see for that very first time my father's defeat in his eyes, and in his voice, and his demeanor. And I don't know what it was. At that moment, I saw a glimpse of the real him for the first time.
Right.
And I wouldn't want my spouse to ever feel like that. I wouldn't want to ever feel like that.
Right.
And so from that point on, that's why I was so determined that when I did the first I do, it was going to be the I do that was for a lifetime.
Right.
It was never meant for temporary. It right. was never meant for, you know, well, we go along until we get argumentative or something, right, and then we just give up on each other and walk away.
Right. Do you think you'll remarry?
I get this asked a lot, and I don't think so. I don't think, but yeah, you know, my stepfather, and he says never say never, because he shortly after he finally got over everything and made a life for himself, he finally found someone that he truly loves,
right,
and he remarried. I don't know.
Right. No, I hear you. I mean, I've been single for 10 years raising my kid, because
yeah,
it's a whole lot of dynamics.
And you have to look at them as well. And I think that's right, part absolutely. Of, for me, I don't want them to feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And it's something that if it ever did come down to it, because my kids are still young, we would definitely talk about it. And I want their input as much as anyone else's.
Right. Absolutely. No, and I mean, I feel the same with my 10-year-old is my biological son. And then I have a 17-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old son that are stepkids. And when their mom got sick, the two of us dads raised the kids together.
Yeah.
You know, but like with my 10-year-old, like, he's gone through a lot of loss and disappointment, and my concern is it's going to go one of two ways. I'm going to like her and he's not.
Right.
Or he's going to like her and I'm not.
Right.
You know, and I don't know which way is worse, because it's like, oh, you know, I bring this girl in and everything's good and he loves her. Well, you know, then am I in a relationship because my kid likes the girl, or, you know, and I mean, it's a lot of things to weigh. And then again, when you lose someone that you loved, it's like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
You know,
and the one thing that I hate, I understand, you know, in our case, I kept hearing a lot of people say kids are resilient.
Right.
I get that, but they shouldn't have to be.
Correct.
And every time I hear that, it just goes right through me, because it's not the point. Kids should not have to be resilient. This case, in this situation.
Right. Well,
and again, I can't choose someone's decisions for them. They choose that, but we acknowledge it and we move forward.
Right.
And that's what I tell a lot of single dads and a lot of even single mothers, is that don't give up. don't give up.
Right. Absolutely.
You can be at your bottom, but if you don't get up, you can never move forward. If right. you fall and you stay down, then that's where you're going to be.
Right.
And absolutely. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help your kids. It's not going to help anybody whatsoever. So it is up to you to get up and keep right. moving forward each and every day.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I think is important is, like you say, kids are resilient. Well, how many of us in our 40s were resilient kids?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we were resilient right. back then because we didn't understand the emotions. We didn't know how to deal with any of it. And we didn't right. have anyone showing us how.
Yeah.
Exactly. So call it resilience, call it whatever you want to call it. But yeah, your kids aren't resilient. Like, my kids right. lost their mom. Do they continue on with their daily life and move forward every day and do what they're supposed to do and go to school and pretend or fake or really feel like everything's right. okay all the time? Yeah, they're human beings.
Yep.
But they're not resilient. They're not invincible. They're not, you know, like, this affects right. them every day of their life. You know, yeah. and whether I see it or I don't see it, like my 10-year-old, he's angry. Been recently, you know, more angry than normal. And I'm like, okay, well, the anniversary of his mom's death coming up in like a week.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. Do I bring it up and do I talk to him about it? Because if it's not bothering him, I don't want to add to the problems.
Right.
You know, but right. if it is bothering him, I don't talk about it. So, you know, it's one of those catch 22 parts where there's so little and you're like, oh, they're fine. Well,
yeah.
You know what? Everyone that's thought why, I was fine when I was 12 years old too. Like,
yeah.
And you know, that's now why I'm 40 trying to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. And my, my oldest son, he's 13. And, right. you know, you can tell when something's bothering him. So usually yeah. what I end up doing is that's mine and his time. So it's right. time for me and him to go do something, whether it be shoot pool, whether it be go to a movie, whether it right. just be going down the road to go grocery shopping or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of, hey, you know, I noticed something's bothering you.
Right.
Do we need to talk about it? And sometimes he'll say yes, or sometimes he'll start crying and he'll be, you know, open up to me about what it is. And then sometimes he'll be like, you know, I don't want to talk about it. Okay. When you're ready to talk about it, let's talk about it.
Right.
I'll be there. And I think that's key. And, you know, we live in a society that tells people they just don't have time. Our right. jobs want open availability, or they want you from this time to that time. And there is no exception.
Right.
And the one thing that I've learned, there's three things: patience. We talked about earlier. One other thing is time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to devote my time to them because of what they're going through. And right. then the third one being communication. And right. if you don't have communication, then everything falls apart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think the other part of problem with time is people spend so much money that they have to work that much time. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, oh, I don't have time. Well, you do.
Right.
You just want to drive a $100,000 Mercedes and live exactly. in a $500,000 home.
Yep.
You know, exactly. so it's a priority over your time, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm lucky, I do consulting for cellular towers.
Oh, okay.
But I work from home.
Right.
99% of my stuff is sitting at an office in my back of my house on a computer.
Nice.
Yes. Nice. You know, I mean, it is, but you don't have a social life. You don't have communication. You know, like, there are times I'm like, wow, I don't think I've been outside for 3 days, you know, because your kid comes home, you just do your thing, like, life goes right. on, you know. But on the other side of the coin, like, oh, I have a field trip. Okay, I can go.
Right.
You know, I don't ever miss, my kid saves me a seat. I don't ever miss that.
Right.
You know, which I think is another important thing as far as parenting go. Like, your kids ask you to be somewhere or want you to be somewhere. Like, that's, I don't know of any amount of money you could pay me.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, and I've never been a rich man, so I can't say.
Right. right. Well, you know? And that's what the thing about it is, you know, we got to the point that we, you know, I was tired of just coming home and, again, letting our phones and our TVs right. and our computers entertain us.
Right.
I got to the point that it was all about us, and we needed to refocus our time on us. So I would come in, I would cook dinner, and we would, right after dinner, we'd either play some sort of funny game, or we would be on a craft, or we would go outside and either just toss football or whatever it was.
Right.
And that impacted them so much. And again, with that and talking about things, we were able to get a closer bond with each other.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, gotta love technology.
Right.
So, awesome. Well, I appreciate you spending some time on your birthday talking to me.
Oh, no, Dan. I appreciate everything you guys do. Anything. And that's one thing that I told someone the other day is that, you know, we have a community here.
Right.
And it was, I honestly, truly, until 3 months ago, I didn't know all these groups was on Instagram.
Right.
So it's been a huge impact for me.
Right.
Talk and seeing all these people with their comments. And I think, you know, it's an opportunity for any single parent, whether it be male or female,
right,
to log in and help each other out with whatever it may be.
Right. And I understand that you're not going through it alone.
Right.
You know, I mean, as alone as you feel sometimes in the days, right, you're like, man, this is it. This is my life that's come down, yeah, to this. Those days, right, you know, being able to reach out and talk to someone that's like, man, yeah. But it could be worse, you know. It could be, right, a different life. Yeah, I mean, that's how I've always looked at it. Like, and I've told, yeah, my kids, I'm like, you know, you guys are fortunate. Like, I know you've been through a lot, but you have a house, you have food, you have,
right,
you know, I mean, and I don't think as much as we did, I don't know that kids realize the structure of the world like we did.
Right.
I can remember growing up and learning about poor, you know, in third world countries. Yeah. And these kids are like, oh, I need a new iPhone.
Right.
I can't imagine asking my mom for anything that costs $500.
Right. You and me both, brother.
You know, you, like, me. I mean, I was begging for a car for $500.
Right.
Not a phone to carry in my pocket. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, and it's just like, they just, I'm like, you guys don't understand. Like, yeah, you know, and the other thing is I did a lot of retail therapy with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I bought my 10-year-old everything on the planet for years. Everything. Yeah. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. You know, and now that I've slowed down and realized, like, okay, I'm like, oh, wait, I got to pay these credit cards back.
Right. And I think at first that's what I did. At first, right, I was so devastated, and I knew that they were, and everything that they asked for, they pretty much got.
Right. Right.
And now I'm paying the price for it, you know, but
we've learned and we've
grown from that. And it's important. Right. And I think that's the thing, is that the importance is to learn and grow from the experiences.
Right. Right. And be able to look back and say, okay, this is why this doesn't work. And this is, yeah, the lessons you need to learn from it, you know? And like, now my 10-year-old has a job. You run out of money. Sorry.
Right.
You have a job. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
You know, so
there you go.
But yeah, definitely. And hopefully we can keep in touch, and
definitely, you
know, I'm around if you need anything. I've been
awesome.
There, you know, to some degree. So,
right.
Yeah. So I'll let you get back to school with the kids.
Awesome.
But I appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Chris. We'll talk
to you
later.
Bye-bye.